All right. Welcome to the New Day podcast with Pastor Nate Morris. This is the podcast where we talk about a lot of the hard issues that we're faced with in society right now. We've talked about politics and government. We've talked about race. We've talked about, are we in the end times? Last week, Pastor David Guzik was our guest talking about that. It's been really, really great conversations every single week. And this week, I have the privilege of having Pastor Ed Taylor on the podcast today, and we're going to be talking about the importance of engagement with the body of Christ and what that looks like in our lives. But before we get to that, Pastor Ed and I have known each other for, it's probably been about a decade now. He was assigned as my mentor when I planted a Calvary Chapel, and ever since then, we've been friends, and he's been a huge blessing to me. And so he is the lead pastor at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. And they also have a radio station, Grace FM, in the Front Range of Denver on 89.7. And Ed, could you share with us the websites for your ministries as well as how people could tune into the radio?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for letting me be on with you today. I love talking about these things, especially like in the midst of crisis and pastors, not only us as leaders, you know, elders, pastors, Sunday school teachers, but people, the church is under great pressure. So I love talking about this, because the more we talk about it, I think some of the ideas, some of the things we say would relieve some of the pressure and help people really grow. But we're here at Calvary Church. We just celebrated 20 years. We started out as, we started out as Calvary Christian Fellowship, Aurora. Then we changed to Calvary Chapel, Aurora. Then we changed to Calvary, Aurora. And now we're Calvary Church. And so all the information you can find is, our website is CalvaryCO for Colorado, CalvaryCO.church. And you can connect with the radio station there. And my personal website is edtaylor.org, where, you know, I do something similar. I also have a similar podcast where I talk about leadership and things. But CalvaryCO.church is the place to go.
Awesome. And Pastor Ed, your podcast is the Lead to Serve podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Lead and then the number two, Serve. And we did kind of divert a little bit. What my heart was just to talk out loud, like have a school of ministry, but just to talk out loud on different principles of ministry. And then, you know, lately with COVID and then all the racial tensions, we took a detour to talk about those things too. So who knows what it's going to become, but it's Lead to Serve.
Awesome. That's great. And you can listen to that on Apple Podcasts or wherever you podcast or listen to podcasts there. Very grateful for your time, Pastor Ed, and you have been a mentor and really just somebody that I've looked to over the years for wisdom and guidance, and you've answered many questions for me, which has been a blessing. And it's just been a blessing to serve with you when we were in Denver on the radio and over the years in the many different ways that our paths have crossed. I think in this weird season, there's so much going on. I mean, every week we've had a different topic that has been so relevant to this season on this podcast. And I think one of the things that is easily missed right now is what it looks like to be the church and what the church really is and means and why that is important right now. And I know at the beginning of, you know, coronavirus and lockdowns and all of that craziness that happened, everybody was pretty reluctant to move to online, right? You're telling me I can't go to church? What's up with that, right? Myself included. And, even fought for the rights of people to be able to do live stream broadcasting and things, super important. And, you know, honestly, in the lockdown season, saw some really great fruit, at least at our church, from that, getting the gospel out digitally. God really moved. We saw people getting saved. It was awesome. But as time wore on, and now as we've kind of entered into this weird in-between season of limited numbers and wearing masks and all the weirdness that is this season, I, for one, have noticed that there has been a little bit of a shift where people are valuing fellowship in church a little bit less. Now, of course, we have people on different ends of the spectrum. We have people that are not doing anything in person, and they are still very engaged with online ministry. They're engaged with watching the service on Sunday mornings. They're engaged with their small groups and some of these other things. But then on the other side of the spectrum, we have people who just are kind of, you know, church is not really a priority right now. And so I wanted to take a minute and talk about what is the church and what does that mean? And why is that important, especially in seasons like this? And not just in-person attendance on Sunday necessarily, but the body of Christ as a whole. And so I was curious if you had any thoughts kind of on that, just as it's related with you guys or with this season in general or anything along those lines.
Well, there's so many layers to this, you know, because, you know, using COVID as the banner of everything, this is the most unprecedented time ever in our generation that we faced as a church. And even though the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and we know other believers suffer the fear of getting sick, coming together, government officials saying don't meet, you can't meet, maybe don't meet, all the different layers, it's unprecedented in the sense that it's the first time for us.
Yeah,
we've never had to make these kind of decisions before. And when I think about the church, you know, if I attach our thought process to the time where we were told not to meet, mm-hmm. I think that there was a real positive time where churches said, leaders said, look, we don't know what this is, so we're going to be good neighbors, mm-hmm. and we're going to suspend in-person gathering for temporarily. And I have to say, I've been telling this to the church since we've come back together, like, I thought it'd be done by Easter,
the way it went down.
And so we're telling everybody, okay, guys, we can do this for a couple of weeks. It's okay. We're going to learn. We get to live out now that, hey, the church isn't a building. All that to say is the pivoting, I'm so encouraged. I forget the number. It's been a while now, but I think the pivoting of COVID caused, 10,000 churches to go online that weren't online before, something like that. And I'm like, amen. Yay, yeah. Jesus for that. And be able for us to say, you're right. We've always said the church is not a building. So let's find out how much we really believe it.
Yeah.
And launch them to that. Now here we are, as kind of dovetailing into what you said, here we are, 20 weeks later. I think that we really need to understand that the church is bigger than a building. That's very key. And the church is bigger than the Sunday gathering or Saturday gathering, much bigger. However, those gatherings are essential.
Yeah.
They're not optional.
Right.
And so now we're on the flip side of that and saying, you know, because when you look at the words describing churches, Nate, and I know you know this, but for the sake of people listening and watching, when you look at the words that are used to describe the church, there are two primary words. The first one is ecclesia. Mm-hmm. The idea of being called out from the world, called out. It referenced in the original Greek to a gathering of citizens that were called out of their houses to come into some public place together.
Yeah.
And so now that word applied to us is we're called out of our homes, out of our neighborhoods, and we gather together in one place, which brings us to the second word from ecclesia, called out ones. A second word that's used to describe the gathering or the church is synagoge. It's used in James chapter 2. It's the word that's translated assembly. Mm-hmm. A whole denomination is named after the assembly of God, where churches are identified being called out, but then called in. It's like the Lord saying, I'm bringing you out so you can come together. And to neglect that. So here's where now a third scripture comes in. So you've got called out together. And then you have that passage in Hebrews that everyone has been debating about. You know, oh, if you close the churches, we're disobeying Hebrews chapter 10. Mm-hmm. If you close the church, verse 25. But there's a key word there that I don't know. You know, we have to cross a line on, because I think temporarily suspending services for the sake of finding out what this virus, because whatever your opinion is on the virus, let's just agree it's real.
Yep.
It's killing people.
Yep.
It's enhanced. There's a high risk population.
Yep.
So I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor, but there are doctors involved. It's not all just a scam. There's something. There's truth to this in some way.
Right.
And in the beginning, we didn't know. I think governments have started to use it for their own purposes politically. But here's the thing. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Not forsaking," and that word forsaking, another Greek word, has everything to do to leave behind.
Yeah.
That's a key one. It's not just avoiding, although that's involved. No, so words like forsaking, deserting, neglecting.
Right.
But the key is leaving behind. So here we are. with a lot of believers, and I'm not talking about the ones in high risk and the ones that are afraid. I'm talking about the ones that are making extra biblical reasons.
Yes.
For not coming back to gather together. Yeah. I don't want to wear a mask. Well, guess what? I don't want to wear a mask either. I really don't.
Right.
I absolutely don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It's hard to sing with it. It's, you know, if I don't wash it, it stinks. Oh, I get it.
Right.
But I choose, I want to be together so much, and I want to serve the church so much, and I want to teach so much, that I'll wear a mask and I'll swallow my pride and I'll humble myself and I'll wear that dumb thing. The government doesn't say I have to like it. Doesn't have to say I have to support it.
Right.
They're just saying wear it. And I'm like, all right. Like,
yeah,
some of the opinions and attitudes that have come through has just broken my heart. So that's a general answer, like overview from where I think we sit. We're not forsaking. If you cross that line to forsake, and here's the thing, churches are open. You can come back.
Right.
If you choose not to come back, I think you run right into not only the definition of the gathering, but also the admonition not to leave behind gathering together with other believers.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, I think that's, it's a good point, just that even talking about the masks and the obstacles that can keep us from going to church and in person or not. And, you know, I mean, like you said, we're not, you know, speaking against those who have prayed about it and felt that they have to make the decision to attend online during this season. I know of several people in our church that watch faithfully every week. They engage in the comments online and they're involved in small groups throughout the week via Zoom or whatever it may be. And they're just saying, for me and my family, this is not a safe thing for us to do, but we're not going to forsake the gathering together. Right. But I think that what has happened is, you know, there's a survey that went out from Barna Research Group, who's very well known for their accuracy in surveys, and they're a Christian based organization. And they found that 33% of people that they would describe as believers, right? So this isn't just somebody that checked what religion are you Christian on the box. 33% of people that they would describe as believers have stopped attending church altogether throughout this season of 2020. Now that means they're not watching online. It means they're not engaging in a small group. It means they're not attending in person. And I think that is a really dangerous place to be as a Christian, because we need to be, as you said, not forsaking or not neglecting or not leaving behind the meeting together. Mm-hmm. And it's not just getting a message in worship either, honestly, because, you know, the local church, the far and wide, the vast majority of local churches, you might get a more, you know, well thought out and put together message from somebody else online, honestly, right? You might get a better quality worship production from Passion City Church than you might from my church, right? So the consuming element of it is the smallest fraction of what church really is, you know, consuming the word. It's the community of the church that's so important. That's that meeting together. And being part of the body of Christ, and you can do that virtually if you try. It takes effort, right? It takes some serious effort to really do that well virtually. But I think for those people that really are going out, they are going to restaurants, they are shopping regularly at the grocery store, that they are doing all of their kind of normal things, but they're saying, I don't really know, I'm not really ready to go back to church. I just, for me, I'm wondering where the priority is there for myself. It's you know, I think of churches in China that have literally for the ability to meet together. Because I mean, they have their own Bibles. They can study the Bible in their home. For the ability to meet together, they've dug holes in the ground and, you know, come out and crowd around in this little circle in the ground to meet together in person, you know? And just the where is our heart and our focus and our priority? I think right now what the enemy would love to do is to distract so many believers from the call to assemble, right? To the call to gather together, the call to come under the leadership of the church and under the accountability of true fellowship. Now there's a couple of different things. I mean, some people today define fellowship as having Christian friends, which really isn't actually the biblical definition of fellowship. There's a friendship element to that, but just having Christian friends doesn't bring you accountability. It doesn't bring you instruction in the word. It doesn't bring you that being a part of the body of Christ, like we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12 and those things there. So it's super important to really to take that thought and grab onto the fact that we're called to be together. And again, like I said, that could include virtually as well. So for that person that maybe maybe they're listening right now and they would say, man, I've been part of that 33% that really hasn't been engaging. I've been doing other things. I've been thinking about other things. What should my focus be, in this season? How do I kind of transition back? What does that look like? Do you have any thoughts on that for that person that's just kind of, maybe they've been floating out there. Maybe they watch online occasionally, or they go back and listen to it later.
Well, you know, we had to address this for our church. And I think if we step back here as pastors, we don't need to stand in any condemnation or judgment on anyone. Right. And if you're listening on the radio or you're watching online, I'm glad you are. But you know as well as I do that if we were to go into church this Sunday and say, how many people have read through the Bible all the way through? You know, there'll be a good smattering of hands. And I can tell you why they didn't. Somewhere along the way, they stopped reading. Mm-hmm. So they got through January, they got through February, then they stopped. And when you stop once, it makes it easier to stop twice. And when you stop twice, it makes it easier for three times. And before you know it, your good habits are completely wiped away by bad habits. And you think of that 33%, which is very discouraging, but not surprising because of the a whole other podcast could be talking about the tension.
Right.
You've got not only COVID, but you've got racial tensions. You've got the politics and the election this year.
Right.
Like the church is being scattered and distracted. But for those that are listening in that are concerning, like why should I come back or when I should come back? I shared this with our church when I put the word out and I said, we're opening the doors. It's time to open. And, you know, and this is what we shared. We shared that the corporate gathering of the church is an essential part of the DNA of followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. You've been adopted into a new family. And so from the beginning of creation, God declared that it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
The Proverbs even speaks about it's foolish for us to isolate ourselves. And so God created, invented the church, the gathering of the church, the synagogue. He's called us out. He invented this because he knew that we need it. And from the time that Jesus sent people out two by two to the 120 gathered in the upper room, God invented fellowship biblically before any of this stuff. He invented true koinonia, as you mentioned, fellowship in order to corporate gathering of the church, the large gathering and small gatherings, but the gathering of the church for the very purpose of instruction, encouragement. And this is the thing. The gathering of the church is not a suggestion. It's a mandate. We are to gather together regularly. And I think that what we're dealing with is really now, do I want to? Is it that big a deal? Look at, I've survived all these months without going to church, and I seem to be okay without anybody, like 33% of people haven't heard week after week. They didn't hear last week how to build your faith when I taught. They didn't hear the previous week about hope. They're not being fed the word of God. They're not singing. They're not outside of there. And when there's a vacuum, it's going to be filled. You know, the thing is this, our life is passing by, and a large component of our relationship with God is our relationship with others. How would we ever be able to fulfill exactly what God has called us to do? To love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind, love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's not just the unbeliever. It's everybody. It's right. Jesus made it very clear that it's everybody. And, you know, we come in to go out.
You know, I think that just that reminder that it's so important to be plugged in. It's so important to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, the pictures that we get in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 of us all being different parts of the body. I mean, if I'm an eyeball and I wander off down the street and I'm not connected to the body, I'm not receiving what I should be receiving, and I'm not giving what I should be giving either as a part of the body of Christ. And so important for during these times, especially, I really believe. And so I believe that the enemy would love to pull people out right now and single them out. It says he prowls about like a roaring lion, right? Seeking whom he may devour. Right. And that's how they attack their prey. If you ever watch lions attack, yeah, they single out the one wildebeest or whatever, and they take that one down. And so don't forsake the gathering together. Don't neglect meeting together. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Ed, for your time. And thank you, listeners. And tune in next week. We'll have another great discussion next week about another hot button topic. And this has been the New Day Podcast with Pastor Nate Morris. Again, if you'd like more information about Pastor Ed, you can go to calvaryco.church and or edtaylor.org. And you can find more information about him and his blog and his podcast and also the radio station there, which is available to stream online as well as over the airwaves in the Front Range of Colorado. So have a great day. God bless.